Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 98 of season 7 of Movie Rob Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again on Hump Day today is Mark Hoffmeyer from the Deep Blue Sea Pod and Movies, Films, and Flicks. And hopefully he's still, you know, hopefully he's out of Norway by now. So welcome back to the show, Mark.
Yeah, hey, it's still in Norway. I learned that on these boats, there's a really great like stair system in the cargo ship. So I've been doing a lot of rat traps running, doing a lot of running up and down, getting in good shape. I figure if I'm stuck on this boat in Norway, I might as well run.
Okay, there is something to that, except for the fact that, you know, you might get in trouble if they catch you, aren't you?
Oh, no, they know I'm doing it. They know I'm running. I gave them a heads up. So I'm not. I told them I was just going to run the stairs, and they're totally fine with it, which is nice. We don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about seeing anything I shouldn't see.
So wait, maybe there's something. Maybe there's something behind a, covered in some tarp or something like that. Is that possible? Did you happen to notice something like that?
I noticed nothing. I'm just running. I don't look behind any doors when I'm stuck on a Norwegian cargo vessel. Who knows what they're up to? You know the old saying, when you're trapped on a boat, don't go looking for stuff that'll get you in trouble.
Okay, but Aristotle maybe...
Aristotle said that.
That could be. I don't remember what happened to him after saying that, but it doesn't sound like anything good. You know, that's what I would say.
This chapter, it's pretty chill.
Yeah, this is an episode where we have almost no dialogue to really speak of here, and it's just following characters around. But so minute 98 begins with Katya walking away from Zeus's eyesight, and ends with Zeus learning how to count in German.
I mean, that's a valuable skill,
especially when you're on a Norwegian ship. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she just walks away, and as soon as she walks away, he's only looking at her, because as soon as she's away, he gets up and starts running. Again, he's seen way too many movies. I think that's Zeus's problem here. You know, it's hard to say that Zeus did any proper training for this type of thing, for him to be just running around. You know, the way that he's holding the gun and all that stuff as he's moving there. And what's really funny is he watches her go inside one door, and then we don't know if he's going through a similar door or another door, but when the place where he comes into the corridor, we see from another shot that she's actually walking down towards that corridor. So like, you know, this is like a rat caught in a maze type of thing. Zeus has absolutely no idea where he's going.
No, and he's not going to find John at
all. No, he's definitely not going to find John.
He doesn't even know where he is right now.
That's right.
I don't know where he is right now.
It's true, because all he hears is someone scream, "Hey, Katya!" And, you know, it seems like someone's doing a cat call here, which, you know, based on what we know of Katya, I think that she would castrate this guy for doing something like that.
Slice your throat?
Well, maybe. Or defenestrate him.
Yeah, defenestrate. Or decapitate. Decapitate. And then defenestrate, or defenestrate that leads to a decapitation.
That could be too. Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. So I actually looked at like what it seems like what this guy in the background is doing is what you would call a cat call, you know, which is do you know the official term for a cat call?
What?
You know, like you see in movies or whatever. That's right. Where you're whistling, or you know, you have in all these movies, a woman is walking past a building site, and the guys start whistling and hollering and stuff like that. Do you know that there's an official term for that?
What is it?
It's called street harassment.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So this is boat harassment.
Yeah. So a street harassment is a form of harassment, primarily sexual harassment, that consists of unwanted sexualized comments, provocative gestures, honking, wolf whistling, indecent exposure, stalking, persistent sexual advances, and touching by strangers in public areas such as streets, shopping malls, and public transportation. You see, it doesn't mention boats here. It's a little bit of a problem.
I mean, if it's a boat that's docked and it's a boat that's used for a tourist attraction, and then the cat calling's there, then I guess you could call it street stuff, right? Depends, but not on a moving boat. This is more aquatic street calling. Harassment. Yeah. Boat harassment. Remember that? Remember, like, we grew up in an era where that was just, like, everywhere on movies. Like, that was just, yeah, that's the right thing to do, guys. Like, I never did that, but, like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and harass all the women walking by because it's funny.
Right. And that's how they're really going to get a woman to say, oh, you know, I'm interested in going out with you because.
Oh, yeah. You know what, guy? Yeah. Because you said,
you know, you never see that in a movie. You never see that in a movie where a guy, you know, makes some lewd comment and the woman goes, hey, you know what? I think you're the man of my dreams.
Yeah, let's go get coffee.
No? That's right.
Hubba, hubba. Oh, man.
Seriously. I mean, yeah, we thankfully we don't have that in movies anymore. Because again, as we just pointed out, it's pointless. It's not as if, you know, what does it get these guys except for, you know, their friends laughing with them? You know, that's the, I guess, the closest that you can come to for what you're going to get from that.
You know, it's funny. And the guys are like, I'm giving her a compliment. I'm having a good time. Like, no, you're not. Like, you're being threatening and you're being a jerk and you're putting yourself in a place of power and you're just harassing someone.
That's right.
She should have stabbed the guy.
It would have been funny. And I think everyone else would have stopped.
But it makes me wonder about their relationship, though, because that guy's very comfortable saying that. So he's got to be like an old salty pro.
Maybe he's like the pilot of the ship, and therefore she can't do anything to him at this point. She basically says to him, just wait till we dock.
And she's pretty chill about it. So, yeah, I mean, maybe Katya does have a sense of humor. You see, like, you know, back then you kind of got to be like, for lack of a better term, one of the guys. This is the 90s and you're on a boat with a bunch of German thieves. Like, you kind of got to, you know, I'm not sure how German thieves acted in the 90s.
Yeah, but I also
wasn't part of that.
It's just really strange that, you know, Zeus is quote unquote following her, but he is so close that she can really see him. You know, like, wouldn't she notice that there's someone who doesn't look like the rest of the people on the boat? That's following her. I mean, do you think she knows what Zeus looks like?
I mean, I don't think so. They don't have print out anything, do they?
I don't think so. And it makes me wonder if Simon knows what Zeus looks like. You know, he just knows him as the Samaritan.
You know, he could have just
Simon
walked up.
Seen him?
Simon seen him? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah,
I mean, let's go back a little bit. When Zeus brings the bomb to Kevin Bacon's brother-in-law to Rob, Rob Sedgwick, right? So he says the other one is coming towards me.
Well, they know he's with Zeus, but I don't think they know what he looks like, because remember. When he's at the baseball field, like, who's that?
Well, they say we're waiting for the other one.
Yeah, the other one. So they know, I guess they just know he's not John McClane.
That's right. He's the sidekick. Like,
yeah, but I don't think Simon knows. You can't have a photo. No one has. Yeah, you're not like taking a thing on your iPhone right now and sending it.
Right. I mean, again, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the week when Simon does meet up with Zeus. He's not surprised he doesn't say, who are you? He knows that this is Zeus right away.
Yeah.
So maybe who else does have intel.
I just think, who else could it be? Like, you know, he's with John McClane. You know, John McClane wasn't there. You know, John McClane's smart. So if they pop up on your boat, based on what he's been told, he's probably going to know it's Zeus.
Okay. All right, that is fair.
That's my guess.
Okay, no, that's a good guess. But the whole thing is just crazy the way this whole thing works.
Do you think this movie that part of this reasons why this movie's not as like loved as the first one? I mean, it has a tragically low score from critics, but I think it's a really good action film. But I guess, you know.
Do you think it's because it's this part of the movie is tacked on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can feel that in this movie. Like, the ending of this movie is not strong by any means. Like, with the
right,
you're going to talk about it, so I won't get like whatever. Everyone's
no, but the other two endings, the other two endings that they have, you know, the one in the original script is just really boring, and then the you know the one with the rocket launcher is just weird. You know, it's like they couldn't figure out how to end this properly.
And then, yeah, this just isn't good. Like, because I don't know. I remember watching this in the theater and really enjoying the experience. But then also, I don't the very, very ending, I was like, I don't know. But, you know, I guess that's what happens when you Frankenstein something into something to get it made. I mean, overall, it's a strong movie and it's a very efficient action film. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like a cohesive whole. Like, I've always found it hard on action movies when they really do shift settings on things. Like, it's like you're here, then you're on a boat, and then you're here. Like, it's, I don't know, it takes it a little bit away. Also, I don't think John McClane is that great on a boat. He doesn't seem like a boat guy. He's in buildings. He's outside. He's on a jet. He's on a snowmobile. He's in an air. Like,
well, he's a on boat the guy. Ground he's a guy. He's a boat guy if you put him in Pittsburgh.
Striking distance?
That's right.
Yeah. No, but John McClane's not a boat guy.
Okay. All right. I said Bruce Willis.
My bad. I mixed
in my up. That's okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's just.
Yeah. No, John McClane is not a boat guy. He's not a plane guy. You know, he's a guy who needs to have his feet on the ground, which is why he's so great in all these movies, because he's not in his element and he's finding a way to still overcome that.
And I mean, you know what's interesting too is if Sam Jackson was with him here. So later on in this chapter, I mean, if you want to get to it before I jump to it, he's lurking around the boat. So if Zeus is with him, he'll probably get caught. But on his own, he's like a lynx. He's just like a live jungle animal sneaking through the boat. No one hears him. So I guess it is good to split them up because at least one guy's got to get the upper hand on somebody. Because he's doing all right by himself on this boat.
Correct.
So you probably don't want Zeus with him. But it's just kind of weird that Zeus immediately gets into trouble. It's kind of annoying.
Well, he's not in trouble yet. He's not in trouble today. He's going to only get in trouble tomorrow. Zeus is completely out of his element here. I mean, again, they even show us the way Zeus is standing in the corridor. He sees Katya, who doesn't see him. But then he looks back. And you have these two other goons that are there that are not in focus, but they could have easily found Zeus. You know, they just would have looked and say, who's that guy over there? He's not from the ship.
Yeah, I don't recognize him.
Yeah. He doesn't look German. You know,
covered in blood. I do like John McClane slinking around. Like, there's something about John McClane slinking that I like.
Yes.
He's a great slinking character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially since, you know, they show us, they give us the shot from below where he's walking on the stairs, you know, so you see through the stairs, through the bottom of the stairs, which is great.
Yeah, that's a good shot. I mean, McTiernan always knows how to find that angle.
Yeah.
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 And then he kills the guy out of the door.
That's right. And John is like really close to like one of the guys that walks by, also almost gets caught. And you know, this is movie logic that you've mentioned numerous times. The fact that if this was in real life, these guys would have been caught so much quicker. You know, in movies you can just you'll be like a few steps below the floor that someone's on, and they won't notice that there's someone there. Like, people don't have peripheral vision in movies. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Real quick, There's a big argument on Twitter the other day about how people just say, I just turn my brain off. And movies are just fun. Like, shut up and just watch the movie. Turn your brain off. But I do think it's fine to watch movies with a critical eye. But also, I think when you watch action movies, you just need to know that action movie logic prevails.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, I think sometimes you're kind of like, this strains, you know, this isn't really credible. But it's kind of interesting where you almost to a point need to turn your brain off. But also, you need to realize that sometimes movies do some really boneheaded things in them, too. Like, just not good writing. So, I mean, where do you stand on that? Are you all about turning your brain off and watching a movie? Do you, like, in this movie?
It depends on the type of movie. I think that's what it comes down to. There's, you know, certain movies that you know, I want it to be as accurate as possible. But again, when you're watching an action movie, you're watching a comedy, you know, there are certain things. You're watching an Indiana Jones movie, you know, it's an adventure film. So, okay, it's fine that it doesn't 100% fit into our reality, because that's what they're doing here is giving us thrills and suspense and tension and all that stuff. So they're going to cut corners, and that's okay. But if you're watching a drama, I'm trying to think of an example of something that you say to yourself, okay, I want this to be as accurate as possible. I don't know, my mind keeps going to Schindler's List, but I don't know. That's not really where I want to go right now.
I get what you're saying though. If a movie that like really relies on dramatic tension in the real world, you probably want to think about it. You know, I'll just turn my brain off and watch this. Like,
correct.
I think with the action genre
or thrillers fit into that also. Horror movies, all
same
that stuff.
Crap.
You do have to more or less check your brain at the door, in order to enjoy the movie without looking at it. With a fine-tooth comb. I mean, again, we're doing that here on purpose, you know, and
it's minute by minute.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We love the movie and we're dissecting it, but we're not dissecting it by saying, oh, this isn't real, I don't really care. It's like, okay, we're trying to figure out the logic behind everything that they do. And sometimes, like in this minute, there is no logic to what they're doing besides saying action movie logic. That's it.
And you'll drive yourself mad if you just look at every action movie and complain about the logic in it.
Right.
And I look at it like,
especially
this,
since
like,
there's so many movies from even 1995, there were tons of action movies this year.
You'll drive yourself insane, and or you'll just do selective complaining. And I look at it as like watching sports. Like, I love soccer and I love watching soccer. Everyone kicks the ball. There's the same amount of players per side. There's red cards. There's yellow cards. There's goals. There's saves. There's offsides. You can watch a game and be like, that was a great game. Or you can watch a different game and be like, that wasn't a great game. That was really defensive and it wasn't great. And it was just an ugly, sloppy game. So I think you can look at it the same way with action movies. You don't have to complain about all of them. You just got to realize like some are better executed than others, but they all have action movie logic.
Right.
So it's like, you know what to expect every time you watch soccer, and you know what to expect when you watch an action movie. Like, I was watching Unlawful Entry. It's a thriller, the other day with Kurt Russell. It's such a thriller pattern. There's an ABC structure to thrillers. It's just like, do they do the ABC thriller, like ABC pattern well? Like, do they follow it well? Is this a successful thriller? You know where it's going.
Okay. Do you think Unlawful Entry is a successful thriller?
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay.
Because Ray Liotta's in it, Madeline Stowe, Kurt Russell. It's fun. But like, if a cop gets in their lives, cop is weird. Husband's like, ooh, this guy's bad. The cop starts getting into their lives. You know, he frames the guy. The guy's credit cards go. He goes after the wife. Like, it's the same pattern for most thrillers.
All right. You see, my problem with Unlawful Entry, and I remember I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie. It's not a great movie. It's a fun movie. But my biggest problem is how do Kurt Russell and Madeline Stowe at the end of this movie explain their way out of going to jail?
Thriller logic.
That's right.
Like, all thrillers. I think, you know, the amount of explaining at the end of some horror movies and thrillers and action films, it's impossible. You just got to assume that people are like, okay, we know the deal.
That's right. You know, they just killed the cop, and, you know, they're going to say, okay, what happened? Well, this guy was stalking us. Okay, can you prove it? No. It's a feeling I had.
Yeah. It's
You know, the sequel to
Yeah, it's
Unlawful
funny.
Entry is Kurt Russell in prison. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
They're selling the house.
Yes. Well, they got to fix it up anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And that movie. But you know, that's a comfort food film where it's just you know exactly where it's going. Just sit back and like watch it and enjoy it. Like watch Kurt Russell play against type in that at that time. And like Madeline Stowe is great with her deep voice. Again, Ray Liotta is just always creepy. So it's like comfort food. And I kind of look at this movie like that as well. Like you just gotta enjoy it. I love it. Listen, 1995 is a huge thing for me. So like I love 1995 movies. I was 13. I watched them all. You know, I remember watching Desperado. I remember watching a lot of them. So I would love to do a really quick 1995 draft with you where we just pick 1995 action movies. And
Okay.
I will let you have first pick.
Ooh, okay. So if we're talking action, I'm actually going to go with Bad Boys as my
Oh
first
yeah,
pick.
got some Bubblicious. Get some Skittles and some
Yeah.
Bubblicious. I love that movie. I'm gonna take Sudden Death because it features one of the greatest kitchen fights of all time. JCVD fighting people in a hockey arena.
Wow,
Life doesn't get
that
any
was
better
one
than
that I was
that.
going to pick. I didn't think you'd pick that before me. So, you know, but that, then again, I always forget that I'm, you know, doing this with Mark, and Mark picks the stuff that's completely out there. Okay, I mean, like, what's your definition of an action film? Or it doesn't matter. It's however I want to define
Doesn't
it.
matter. Whatever you want.
All right. I'm actually going to go with Die Hard 3 as my next pick.
I mean, that's a great film. I'm gonna take Waterworld. Like, I love the. It's the only film to go 3 for 3 on the Mark scale. It features jet ski action, catapults, and sea monsters.
Yeah,
It's that and The Mermaid.
but it's a terrible movie.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Great movie. Well, great. It's an all-time classic.
All
All
right.
right, what's your third
Okay.
pick?
I'm gonna do a mark here, and I'm gonna do something that everyone listening to this is gonna say that's an action movie, but I think it is. I'm going with Toy Story.
Why not? I love it. There's action in it. I'm going GoldenEye because that movie was the first Bond film I ever watched in my life. And I played the game and I love it.
Okay, all right. My next pick is gonna be Braveheart.
Ooh, Braveheart. That's a good one. I'm doing Mortal Kombat.
All right. So I only have one more, right?
Mortal Kombat. Yep.
Okay. All right, here I'm going with the Mark thing. I'm gonna pick Nick of Time.
Ooh, Nick of Time. I like
Have you
that.
seen it?
Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I saw everything back in 95. I'm taking Desperado to top off my list. I like it. I have Sudden Death, Water World, GoldenEye, Mortal Kombat, and Desperado. That's a very Mark list. You have Bad Boys, Die Hard 3, Toy Story, Braveheart, and Nick of Time. I love it.
Yeah.
Good old Johnny Depp.
That's right. I was thinking maybe of taking 12 Monkeys at some point, but and Heat, the scene,
Oh yeah, we'll
you know, the scene in LA at the bank is still classic after almost 30 years. You know.
all-timer.
Yeah.
Michael Mann, dude's great.
Yeah. All right. That was fun. Thank you very much
Yeah,
for
that's
thinking of
fun.
doing that. I
I love my
appreciate that.
95 movies.
Well, I know you also love your 99 movie, so like which is a year that you think is a better year?
Well, I mean, oh, a better year. Probably 99. I'm just gonna say that because I was working in a theater and I watched everything and I was 17 and I could get into anything and I could watch anything and I didn't have to pay for any movies. And I think my movie literacy was becoming more so. And I think, you know, international cinema was starting at that time. I was starting to see more cool international films. And I think I was just more mobile and I had more money so I could see more films. And I think that
Well, because
was
you
a
saw them for
cool
free.
education. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I had my car and I had my like I could drive and I could work and I could see him for free. And I think that's the year when I just really connected with it, like emotionally. I think 90, I would take 94 over 95. My favorite years ever for just cinema going is 94, 99, and 04. All for various reasons, but I look at each year with so much fondness and like great memories. So those are my three favorite of all time,
Oh,
those
wow.
3 years.
Okay, very cool. So John is as you said, slinking around, looking back and forth. He's hiding in the stairs that have that are see the see-through stairs. He's hiding in the see-through stairs. That's what it comes down to. And then the door opens and some guy walks through and John basically bangs the door into him. You see, this is just a regular sailor. This isn't even like one of the goons. This is like some guy who's working on the Far Swan. That's it.
Yeah, and he just gets smacked. Yeah, he gets knocked
Yeah,
out.
John bangs the
They're not
door
all evil.
and pretty much bangs him just in the back also. We don't see him banging the guy on the head, which could have theoretically killed him. So
Yeah, he
we'll
takes
have
that dude out.
and then it the shot changes again, and we have Zeus climbing up a different pair of stairs, and he opens the door again. Really stupid moves, because he could be opening the door into a room filled with guys who have guns on him.
Oh man, that's an odd choice.
Yeah.
But still, I never thought about it watching it, not minute by minute though.
Of course.
You just sit in a theater and you enjoy it. But then, like when you watch it minute by minute, you're kind of like, oh wait, this is kind of crazy. But
That's right.
yeah.
That's right. And as Zeus enters this new area, which we'll discuss in more detail tomorrow, the minute ends. So this is one of those minutes where it's they have some great stuff going on, but not much that you really need to analyze. Except for the stupidity of the fact that they split up and they're both opening doors where they shouldn't be opening doors.
Yeah, that's odd. That's an odd one. But whatever, I like slinking.
For sure. Makes sense. All right, so did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, actually I do. I forgot that. There's one last thing. As he's opening the door, he hears someone count in German.
Ooh.
And do you know how to count in German?
Eins, zwei, drei. That's it.
Okay, eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neun, zehn.
Oh, I like
So
that.
we can hear that in the background, stuff like that.
I'll actually be in Germany on a river cruise next year.
Well, it depends on where you're where the ship is going to take you once you leave Norway.
Yeah, that's right. If I get home.
There you go. Yeah, I think your wife and daughter are going to be a little upset if they have to go on their own to a river trip in Germany without you.
That'd be. I miss them. My little ladies, my ladies, I love them.
Once again, we have nothing to talk about with the script because this does not appear in the script. Today's segment is Jesus Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Samuel L. Jackson performances. So, Mark, what have you got for us?
Right, Deep Blue Sea, number five. Jackie Brown, number four. So good in all these movies. Well, let's. So I got my five and four. I'll do. Oh man, he's gonna be up for Oscars this year, which is pretty interesting. I love. You know what? I'm very happy in Hateful Eight. Major Marquise Warren. He's like one of the main like survivors in that film. I love that. So I'll put him at number three. I will put, oh man. Okay, I have three. Then I will do not Roland from Jumper. Not Neville Flynn from Snakes on a Plane. Let's see. I will do Mace Windu because I just love him as a Jedi and he wanted to be a Jedi. And oh no. Jules from Pulp Fiction's number two, and Elijah Price from Unbreakable. Unbreakable is my favorite superhero film ever made, and I think he's incredible in it. So that's my five.
All right, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, and he's great as Mitch Hennessy in Long Kiss Goodnight. Oh man,
Oh.
he's amazing in Great White Hype too as Reverend Fred. No, I'm sticking with my list. He's great in Jackie Brown. Yeah, I like my list. And like Mace Windu, I just like him as a Jedi. He wanted to be a Jedi. I'm keeping him in there because of that. I'm not saying it's his best performance, but I just love him as a Jedi.
Right. No, I understand. I completely understand that.
And he's the stick-up man in Coming to America. I've definitely seen that.
Oh yeah, for sure. With the mop. He's in the mop scene.
Hold up, man. I'm sorry. He's hold up, man.
All right. So, Mark, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Mark Hoffmeyer?
Yeah, Movies, Films, and Flicks, and Deep Blue Sea in Norway.
on the far swan. There you go.
Still here.
All right. Well, hopefully you'll get home by the end of the weekend. That's my hope.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. I kind of like it here, though. Weather's nice. I got a nice sweater. I miss my family.
Yeah, but you got to deal with those containers filled with all that strange ore.
Good point. And listen, when you make the choice of stowing away on a boat illegally, you kind of got to deal with the repercussions, and they're being pretty cool here. So, I'm lucky.
All right, I'll keep calling you lucky. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Mother truckers.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.